Radhe Radhe. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the amazing stories of Mahaprabhu, and the story, we finished two parts of the story. This is part three, October 22nd. And this story is entitled, Doyal Gauranga Stops the Suicide. So, of course, this is involving Sanatana Goswami. Upon arriving in Puri after passing through Jayakant Forest, he contracted skin disease, which created sores and which were weeping pus or lymph or whatever it is in blood, making it kind of a horrible stink and stench, and defiling the body of Mahaprabhu, which he would insist upon embracing him because he's his loving devotee. And he felt this was an offense. Mahaprabhu did not think it at all that way. And he was not able to see Jagannath because he had become in a ostracized position because of his employment with the Mughal government. He lost his caste, so he's denied darshan. So that we heard that Sanatana wanted to commit suicide, and Lord Chaitanya knew that automatically without inquiring from anyone. He read the heart of his devotee. And he told him, this is a review. He said, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, then I would commit suicide millions of times over. This is not the way. Then he's explaining we were discussing that. And he said, then Lord Chaitanya is preaching to Sanatana and to anyone who may contemplate such an act of giving up one's body, devotee or non-devotee. And Lord Chaitanya said it's a sin, it's patak karana. It's a sin, and you'll never achieve the feet of Krishna that way. So then, now Lord Chaitanya, basically in this juncture of the story, the basic plot is that one devotee wanted to give up his body, throwing it in front of the Jagannath chariot wheel during Rath Yatra. And the Lord interceded and prevented that. And then he preached to him about the value of his body and the value of his existence as a devotee. And also because he was thinking that, wrongly actually, sometimes devotees have the wrong idea. Sometimes they have the wrong thoughts. So to show that principle, obviously Sanatana Goswami has no wrong ideas or wrong thoughts. He is a Nitya Parishad, eternal associate of Radha and Krishna. And he's fully aware of all the Tattva Siddhantas, and he's written the whole foundation of Gaudiya Siddhanta in his books, especially Brihad Bhagavatamritam and other books. But he's playing a role to teach us and show us, as Arjuna in Gita is also playing a role as a student or shishya, becoming bewildered by the material energy and material attachments, so that Krishna can enlighten Arjuna, ostensibly, but all of us, the readers of the Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna is never bewildered. He's an eternal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. And he has his form in Goloka also, Arjuna Nagopa, a coward boy. And then his expanded form in Vaikuntha, Pandavas. So the Sanatan is showing that, he's showing this principle or point that sometimes a devotee can have the wrong thought. Although it may sound noble and it may sound progressive and even spiritual, his idea or his thought, but it's actually wrong. It needs to be corrected. It can be corrected by the guru or Shiksha Diksha Guru or a good friend, or by the Antaryami, the super soul may enlighten him within the heart. That's called prerana. Prerana in Hindi means inspiration. In English we say inspiration, prerana. So that comes from Paramatma, Antaryami. Oh, no, that's not good. I shouldn't do that. The voice of God, you could say. Super soul. So Mahaprabhu, he's He said, your idea is wrong. You're thinking my body is not fit for service because of the skin disease, and I've lost my caste, so I can't even have darshan of Lord Jagannath in his holy abode of Purushottam Kshetra, Shri Kshetra Jagannath Puri. What's the use? And if I've heard that if one gives up his body by throwing it in front of the Jagannath's cart during Rath Yatra time, then he gets mukti. And that certainly, that's a great promotion. Go to Vaikuntha Mukti by that. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, you are wrong. Your thought is wrong. This is incorrect. This is not the way. So the proposal of Sanatana Goswami is that this is a way to get mukti by suicide. Because I can't serve, my body's useless. For example, someone may get an auto crash, and then his legs get destroyed, his arms get destroyed. He's just confined to a wheelchair. He can't really do anything. He has to have a nurse, an aide, push him here and there, someone to feed him, because his arms are not working, his legs are not working. He's practically like dysfunctional, although he's existing. And he has lost the power of the speech. I met one young man like that, which I mentioned the other day. So one could say your existence is useless. But that's not on one level. But in terms of service, active service, serving with his karmindriya, working senses, hands, etc. But he is useful, is purposeful, because he can hear Harikatha and he can chant in his mind and he can hear Leelas because he still had the hearing power. And that way he can develop his consciousness and increase his attachment to Bhagavan. So when he leaves that miserable state of suffering at the time of death, according to his allotted years, then yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajatyanti kalevaram. Whatever bhav he has in his mind when he dies, then he'll attain that bhava. That bhava will give that bhava. Bhav means the position of your heart, ribhav. How much love, how much attachment you have for Krishna, that's your Krishna bhav. And that will give you your bhav. Bhava and bhav. So your bhava gives you your bhav. So your state of your love for Krishna, your attachment, emotional devotional attachment to Krishna, if it's pure and anya abhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anamritam, free from karma and jnana and any abhilash, no material desire, you're pure, then that type of bhav will give you bhav, give you existence in a spiritual body in liberation. So even though he's in a wheelchair, he can get liberation. So he's hanging in there because he's an initiated devotee. Now, in Sanatana Goswami's case, he thought, I want to give up my body. And Lord Chaitanya said, this is not a good idea. You can't attain Krishna this way. But you're interested because you said you want to attain Krishna. And you have this as, you recommended that this is the way I'll do it. This is my idea. I will get mukti, liberation, and attain Vaikuntha or Krishna in this way. This is my abhyas. This is my practice. Sanatana Goswami says, that's wrong. Your idea, your practice is wrong. You'll get pataka. He says, you'll get patakaran. This is the cause of hell. This is the cause of patak. Patakaran means what you're doing, your proposal is a cause of sin. And you'll be punished. But I'll give you a better idea. Then Lord Chaitanya starts preaching. This, if you do what I'm telling you, if you do what you thought to do, you go to hell. If you do what I tell you to do, you go to God. So what did Lord Chaitanya tell Sanatana to do? What is the means? What is the means or the abhideya? What is the abhyas, the practice, the sadhana that Lord Chaitanya prescribed to Sanatana Goswami to enable him to attain the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world? What did Lord Chaitanya tell him? This is why it's a very interesting story with very significant upadesh or instructions. He said, Garanuragera Vyoga Na Yaya Sahan Tate Anuragi Vanche Apana Maran. A premi bhakta who is deeply in love with Krishna, gada anurag, his anurag, his intense emotional attachment for Krishna is gadha. Gadha means very, very deep. His whole mind is absorbed and colored. Rag means color, and rag means affection and love. Rag. So his whole mind is colored and tinted by extremely, excessively pure love and affection for Krishna. Gada anaragera. He says, Gada viyoga nayaya sahan. He says, sahan, not sahan, sahan. He can't tolerate the viyog. Viyog means viraha, means separation. Such a premi bhakta, he cannot tolerate the separation from Krishna. So therefore, such an anuragi, vanche maran. Vanche means icha in Hindi. They say ichamaran. Ichamaran. Vanche maran. Such an anuragi Vaishnava, he desires to die. He doesn't do it. He doesn't commit suicide, but he desires, I can't live without Krishna. I can't sleep. I don't want to eat. I don't want to sleep. I'm just chanting and seeing Krishna. Sometimes I have a sporty and I see him and then he's looking at me. He smiles and I am about to say something. Then he disappears. Then another time I see him in the forest when I'm picking flowers. And then I go to get madhukari. And when I look and I see the lady coming out of the house with the roti, or she sends her daughter, her teenage daughter, I look and I see, oh, it's not a Vrijbasi Chori. It's Radhika. Radhika, you're bringing me the roti and madhukari. And then I lose that spurti. I can't bear it. Krishna, you're appearing to me here. Radha, you're appearing to me there. Please take this body. This is the anuragi, premi bhakta. But he doesn't commit suicide. But he has anuragi vanche apana marana. He desires vancha. We have this term, vancha kalpa trubhyascha. The Vaishnava, vancha kalpa trubhyascha, kripa, vancha kalpa, kalpa means tree, taru, tree, pear. Vancha means wish-fulfilling tree, desire tree. So now Lord Chaitanya, he's telling the physician, he said, yes, because he's also saying, yes, all right. It's interesting, it's a very interesting way Lord Chaitanya is instructing him. Because Sanatana Goswami was contemplating doing something wrong, something that was not devotional, it was pratikulya. Bhakti pratikulya was against bhakti. It was patak, patak karana. It's a cause of sin. It's actually sinful suicide. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, all right, your sentiments, your feelings, your anurag is good. It's pakka. It's correct. Because you're feeling separation from Lord Jagannath. Jagannath viyog, Jagannath viraha. You can't have darshan. You're denied because you're ostracized. Your caste has been you're in a lower caste. You can't get pravesh of the mandir. And so that's viyog from Jagannath. And then you're feeling viyog from me and from serving me because of your diseased body. So that your feeling is all right. That you're feeling like that, that you have so much anurag that you want to vancha marana, you want to give up your body. But you were actually saying you were going to do it. That's the wrong part. So that's the nice way he's preaching. He's saying, yes. And he said, yes, yes, there are anuragi premi bhaktas that feel like this. They can't tolerate remaining in their body anymore because of their intense prema and the ecstasies that they're experiencing in that prema-filled relationship with Krishna cannot be contained within this mortal coil. The ecstasies are pushing their soul out of their body. The ecstasies are making their heart jump out from their chest cavity. And their eyes are welling with tears day and night. This is the anuragi premi bhakta. So he's desiring that, but he doesn't contemplate nor think of that. So then he quotes a verse from Rukmini Devi. Very interesting. Here Lord Chaitanya is, he's in Siddhabokul in Jagannath Puri, sitting with Haridas Thakur, Sanatana Goswami, and Siddha Bokul. There's coconut trees, palm trees there. There's some, of course, Bokul trees. That's a tree with a beautiful fragrant flower, and palm trees. And in the distance, you can see the chakra, the Jagannath temple, looking straight eye to eye at Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami. They would take darshan, offer dandavat. It's a very beautiful, peaceful setting. It's only a 10-minute walk from the Jagannath temple, very close, Siddha Bokul. And Lord Chaitanya is preaching to him about Anuragi Vaishnavas and Premi Bhaktas. And then all of a sudden, Lord Chaitanya remembers Rukmini. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. And then Rukmini spoke this verse when she was desiring to get Krishna as her husband. This is actually her letter. She wrote this in a letter. Because you know the story in Dwarka Leela, Krishna book, 10th canto, that her brother Rukmi wanted her to marry Shishupal. And Shishupal was not a best friend of Krishna. He was rather envious of Krishna from his very birth. He was always vilifying and criticizing Krishna. Even before he could speak, he was trying to say some bad words. Krishna is this and that. So, of course, Shishupal, he got a little carried away with his bad speech. And Krishna removed the source of his bad speech. Right? Krishna cut off his head. So he couldn't speak any more bad words after that. Or anything, for that matter. But he got liberation also. So that she was fearing that. Rukmini was fearing, oh no. Or, oh God. Oh God, I'm going to be married to Shishupal. So she wrote a letter to Krishna and Dwarka. She's Vaidarbhi Rukmini, the daughter of King Bhishmaka from the Vaidarbha province. So this verse spontaneously came from the mouth of Mahaprabhu when he was preaching to Sanatan Goswami about, because the whole subject here is Sanatan wants to give up his body. So this is just, see the expertise of Lord Chaitanya's preaching. He's preaching that on different levels, that according to Dharma Shastra, there's something called Dharma Shastras, which has the Yama and Niyama, and what is pap and what is punya, what is sin and what is piety or virtue. So in the Dharma Shastras, it says that suicide is patak. Patak karana is the cause of sin. Pat, you know, yaputana, pat means hell. And so from Dharma Shastras, suicide is sinful. But then he says, if we take a rasavichar, then an anuragi Vaishnava, he may like give up his body. And so that's talking about rasavichar. And he's talking about the Dharma Shastras. Lord Chaitanya is the most expert preacher. He cites Smriti, then Shruti, then Smriti. Now he's going to go into Puran. Use the Puran as Praman. Puran as Praman. Evidence and proof from Puran. So in the Puranas, like Bhagavad Puran, Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran, there are so many stories. Stories of Krishna, stories of Vishnu, Narayan, Lakshmi, Gopis, queens, the Mahishis of Dwarka, etc. So now Lord Chaitanya is citing Puranic Praman. First he cited Smriti Praman. Smriti Praman means the Dharma Shastras. It's a sin, don't do it. Okay? That's called the Smritis. Now it's Purana Praman. The Puranas. So in the Bhagavad Puran, which Lord Chaitanya knows very well, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam, so now he cites a verse spoken to Rukmini where she's saying the same thing. It's a very common thing with lovers. If you don't marry me, I will kill myself. Or even after they're married, sometimes wives often, this is a big thing with husbands and wives. The wife says, if you don't do this or that, I'm going to kill myself or whatever. It's a very common thing. Usually it's a wife telling the husband. But maybe it's different nowadays. I don't know. Maybe the husbands are telling the wife. But at least when I was married, and that was 40 years ago, the wife was telling the husband, I'm going to commit suicide. And you hear it so many times and you stop believing it after a while. But you get serious and try to behave yourself when you hear that. So the idea is that she wrote a letter like that. So this is what she said. I'll read the Sanskrit. This is from the Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Yasyangri pankajavraja snapanam mahanto vachantyama patir ivatmatamo bahatye. Yayambu jakshanalabeya bhavet prasadam jayamasun pratakrishan chatajanmabhisyat. What did Rukmini say in her love letter to Krishna carried by the Brahman? Oh, Pundrikaksha, oh, Yasyangri, one who has beautiful lotus feet. Yasyangri, Raja. She's saying, oh, lotus-eyed one, oh, Pundrik, oh, Ambu-aksha, Ambu-aksha, oh, lotus-eyed one. Great personalities like Lord Shiva, they take bath in the dust of your feet. Why? They do that to drive away their ignorance. If I don't get the mercy of you, my Lord, I shall observe strict vows of tapa and austerity and thereby reduce the duration of my life. And then I shall give up body after body for hundreds of births. And if it is possible to get your mercy in that way. Because she's heard that Tapo Divyam Putrika Yena Sattvam Shud Yen Yashmad Brahma Sokyam Anantam. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Rishabhadeva is preaching to his sons about the value of tapa. Tapo Divyam Putrika Sena Putrika Yena Sattvam Shud Yed Yashmad Brahma Sokyam Tonantam. Rishabhadeva is telling his sons in the fifth canto, Tapo Divyam Putrika Yena Sattvam, that if one does tapa, that word is here in the verse, tapa, if one performs tapasya, austerities and penance, then he becomes shud, becomes very pure. And then he becomes so pure he can realize the aham brahmasmi, that I am Brahman, brahma sokyam tu anantam. He can realize his spiritual nature, aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am not this body, I am a particle of consciousness. And then, tu anantam, says Shriyad Yashan, brahma sokyam tu anantam, he can experience brahma sukh. That sukh, which is endless happiness of realizing his spiritual identity as Brahman. So she's saying that, I want to do the same thing. I want to fast until death. Life after life, I want to do so many austerities that I fast until death. Tapo divyam putrika yena sattvam. And by doing those austerities, I'll reduce my life because I'll just fast from all food and water like Dhruva Maharaj. Then I'll very quickly give up my body. Then one body after another body after another body. And eventually, by the power of that tapabalam, by the power of that tapabalam, I will attain the tapafal. The tapafal means the fruit of my tapasya, which will be Brahman. Not Brahma Sokyam Tuanantam, but Param, Param Brahman. I will attain the Para Brahman, who is you, Pundrikaksham. So that's what Rukmini is saying in this verse. That's the meaning of it. She's saying, Vrata Krishan, by observing vows, Shata Janmi. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, Sanatan, you're talking about suicide. Well, 5,000 years ago, one queen, Vaidarbhi, she also talked about suicide to attain Krishna. You think that if you commit suicide, you'll attain Jagannath, you'll attain Krishna by giving up your body. Rukmini thought the same thing. She even prayed like that to Krishna. If you don't come and save me and accept my hand in marriage, Rukmini Harana, Rukmini Vivaha, then I'll commit tapasya life after life. So Lord Chaitanya is saying there's a similar case. And then now he speaks a verse by the gopis. So this is amazing. Lord Chaitanya has been preaching to him on the basis of Smriti Shastra, on the basis of Shruti, on the basis of Purana. He started preaching a little bit about the sadhana tattva and the anuragi Vaishnava, his state of consciousness, which is also has some idea about giving up the body. And now he's going to go more into rasa and from the queens of Dwarka. Now Lord Chaitanya is remembering Vrindavan, because Krishna was in Dwarka with the queens, he's also in Vrindavan. So now he cites a verse from the Rasalila, the gopis, when they were attracted to Krishna's flute vibration, the moonlight of autumn, all the gopis became mad. They were totally mad to see Krishna. But then when they got there, when they arrived on the banks of the Yamuna, then Krishna started acting like a great moralist, like a great preacher. And he started preaching to them Dharma. And they were saying, what is this? This is not a time for a Bhagavatam class about Vivaha Dharma and Pati Dharma. So he said, oh, this is not right for a young married woman to meet a man in the middle of the night. You have your husband, you should go home. So he was giving the moral instructions that they should return home, and the gopis didn't care at all for that. All they wanted to do, as Prabhupada said in his purport, after hearing all these moral instructions about going home and serving your husbands, and by doing that you'll get swarga mukti, and you'll get liberation in the next life, and you'll be rewarded. And Krishna went on to say, even if your husband is old, invalid, ugly, stupid, a wife should serve him. That is her dharma. And so no matter what condition your husband may be in, you should go home and serve that person. And the gopis are looking at him. Yeah, sure. Right. And then, and what else do you want to tell us? So then, now Prabhupada says very nice. He says, Krishna gave them moral instructions to return home. The gopis did not care for these instructions. They wanted to be kissed by Krishna, for they had come there with lusty desires to dance with him. Listen, Mr. Krishna, we have come here not to get a lecture on morality. We didn't put all this perfume on and lipstick and kajal and mascara and dress in our best dresses and come here and put on kunkum and chandan and all designs and look so stunningly, charmingly attractive and seductive. We didn't dress up like that just to hear a sermon on morality. We came here with some business in mind. And our business is your loving satisfaction. So what are you talking about? So now what do they say? They said, Sanjanga nastvad adharamritam parakena hasava loka kalagita charich chayagnim na ched vayam virahajag na yukta deha tyanena yama parayo paravim sakhe te. Hey Sakha, by your smiling glances and melodious talk, you have awakened the fire of lusty desire in our hearts. Now you should extinguish that fire in our hearts that's burning with the nectar stream up from your lips by kissing us. It's a beautiful analogy and a fantastic, that's probably one of the most romantic statements one could ever hear. You imagine meeting your beloved under the full moon night of the Sharad season, which is September, October, and November, the most beautiful seasons in Braj. You're experiencing the beauty of Braj. A slight warmth in the daytime, at least from our perspective of living here. And the sun is, as my friend said this morning, he said, when you sit in the sun, you feel like you're being caressed by the sun's rays. And when you sit, if you dare to sit in the sun in June in India, you feel like you're getting sliced in half. Feel like you're getting sliced in half by a laser saw. You know, you're being sliced and cut in half by a laser saw if you were foolish enough to sit in the noonday sun in June in Vrindavan. So that same sun becomes so gentle, so loving, so motherly-like with its gentle rays in October and November, very soothing and embracing rays. And that was that verse in Ujjala Nilamani. Rupa Goswami was alluding to that when Lalita was scolding him as one of her sevas to rebuke Krishna. Upabharana. Upabharana means to scold or rebuke either Radha or Krishna. So then she said, oh, you come on to Radharani with like the very gentle rays of the sun in autumn, but then you act like Putanari. But then you act like like Putanari, like that little Krishna that wanted to kill that innocent lady, so-called innocent lady Putana. So you come on like very gentle, like the autumn sun, onto Radharani, but then the way you treat her is like, you know, the way you treated Putana. She calls him Putanari. And Ujjwala Nilamani. So the gopis are saying that, so just imagine you're under the full moon rays and the season with your beloved, and she says something like this, "Oh, my beloved, my heart's aflame with lusty desires for you, and it's just burning, and the only way to put out a fire is fires by cascades of water, and please, you know, you have the remedy, so please extinguish the lusty fire in my heart, the fires of lust on my heart, with a stream of nectar, with the rain, the downpour of nectar falling from your lips when you kiss me with your nectar-filled lips." This is the most romantic, intimate statement one could ever hear in their love-thirsty ears, if you can have any sentiments for such things. It's so beautiful and so intimate. "Kindly do this, otherwise, Saka, that fire in our hearts which you have ignited with your glances and your flute playing will burn our body to ashes because of separation from you. Thus, by meditation, we shall claim we will attain shelter at your lotus feet." So this is a very wonderful preaching Lord Chaitanya is doing. It's full of correction and full of rules and regulations, and this is the yama and this is the niyama you're supposed to follow. It's sinful against the dharma to commit suicide. And of course, there's a rasic aspect of it. Anuragi Vaishnavas, they want to give up their body, but they don't. And then what to speak of Rukmini, she felt that way. And look at the queens, they felt that way. So you're not alone. But in all these examples I gave you, the conclusion is this, and all these examples I gave you, Sanatan, I gave you the example of the Anuragi Premi Sadaka, who wants Vancha Marana. He desires to give up his body, but he doesn't seriously contemplate it. And then there's the Mahishi Rukmini, who is wanting to give up her body hundreds of lifetimes by tapasya, if that would get her the shelter of Krishna. Then there's the gopis who are standing right next to Krishna, waiting for his loving embrace. And they're saying that we're being burned up. Our bodies are being burned, literally burned up by the fire of love you created. So please extinguish that. So see, these are different instances of those giving up their bodies willfully. So now, well, how does Lord Chaitanya, is very sympathetic in his preaching, but still, he hasn't solved the problem. Because Sanatana Goswami is thinking that if I give up my body, I will get liberation. So Lord Chaitanya first talked about this principle of giving up. See the depth of his preaching. See the way he approached the subject. Because Sanatana Goswami presented 2 points, do and don't. Cause and effect. I'm having this problem, so this is my solution. And by this solution, I will get this effect. My problem is this body. I give it up in suicide, and I get a good result. I get liberation. So first, Lord Chaitanya talked about his body. He said it belongs to Krishna as a vehicle for service. Then he explained about this principle of giving up your body, suicide. And he settled that, and he solved that from a rasic vichara viewpoint and from a tattva viewpoint, tattva and rasa vichara, from smriti shastras and dharma shastras, etc. Now the second point is, but Sanatana might say, okay, I don't give up my body, but still, that was a great way to get liberation, at least I thought it was. So what about my desire for liberation? How do I get liberation? How do I attain that goal that I thought I would attain that effect or that goal by giving up my body? Lord Chaitanya said, okay, now I'm going to address that part. So you see how he analyzed. He's such a good listener. He already knew. He didn't actually hear about it. He already knew it and immediately addressed it without Sanatana saying anything about his intentions. Lord Chaitanya brought it out and started discussing it. But see how he analyzed it in different aspects and then systematically presented the solution and to each point. Beautiful preaching. And who can preach better than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? As you look at the preaching of Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna is preaching in Gita. And it's so expert, you know, all the tattvas and siddhantas that he gives to Arjuna and all of us. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya is so expertly preaching. Again, Krishna came 500 years ago, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So and sometimes, as you see in Gita, when Krishna was instructing Arjuna, sometimes he criticized him. He said, "Oh, you Partha, you're supposed to be the son of Pandu, you're supposed to be a Prita, o Kunteya." So he would insult him, like, "You're supposed to be the son of Kunti. You're supposed to be one of the five Pandavas. Why are you speaking nonsense?" While speaking, there's one verse, Ashochyan Anva Ashochyan Chant. Ashochyan. He said, "While speaking learned words, you're lamenting for that which should not be lamented." So he's actually giving him the sauce. He said, "You're acting stupid. Why are you speaking stupid? You're supposed to be an intelligent Kshatriya. Why are you acting?" So similarly, as in a course of teaching and instructing Arjuna in Gita, Krishna chastised him and corrected him, reprimanded him. Now, in this verse, Lord Gauranga is going to chastise and correct Sanatana Goswami. First he spoke philosophically, and now he's going to give him a little sauce. Pull it. In India they say, "Pull my ear," you know. "Hey, what are you doing, you nonsense?" Then you explain all the proper thing he should do, but you may say, you stupid, stop it. So it's kind of a criticism, you calling someone stupid. So now he's saying, "Ku buddhi chariya kara shravana kirtan achirata pabe tabe krishnara charan." Mahaprabhu told Sanatan, "Give up your nonsensical desires." He's calling him nonsense. He says, "Ku buddhi chariya." Ku buddhi means you're bad and ku buddhi. Ku buddhi chariya. Ku buddhi chariya. Give up your bad intelligence. Your thoughts are haywire. Your thoughts are viparita. They're upside down. You're speaking, in common slang we would say, you're speaking crazy talk. Your talk is crazy. Kubudi chariya. Now, they're unfavorable for getting the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. He says, achirat pabe tabe krishnara charan. You want to get Vaikuntha mukti. You want to get the shelter of Vishnu, Krishna. You can't get it that way by suicide. Just give up that idea. Give up that kubudi. Your intelligence is wrong. Your discrimination, thoughts, conception, idea, plan, it's all wrong. Kubudi. Krishna charan ne prapti. Ne pave. So then he says, how will you get it? Then he says, shravanam kirtanam. He says, you will attain Krishna by engaging yourself in hearing and chanting. Then, achirat, very quickly you'll attain Krishna. So now he goes on, Lord Chaitanya goes on further to address the position of Sanatana Goswami. So specifically he's preaching. Because one of the arguments Sanatana Goswami gave was, "I Nicha Jati." He said to Lord Chaitanya when he met him, "I am Nicha Jati. My birth is low. I have a low caste," he said. So now Lord Chaitanya, one by one, he's dismantling all his arguments. Like in debate, he's defeating or dismantling all his arguments and positions and establishing the correct one so he can very clearly understand. Sanatana Goswami is thinking Nicha Jati. He was born a Saraswat Brahmin. Saraswat Brahmin is Upar Jati, very high birth. But he took employment in the Mughal government. He worked for the Mughal Qazi as a minister of finances. So he said, "I lost my caste." So now he considered, "I am Nicha Jati. I am low caste because I served the Mughal emperor." So then Lord Chaitanya says, "Nicha Jati nahe Krishna bhajan ayogya. Satkula vipranahe bhajanera yogya." A person born in a low family, he is not unfit for bhakti, devotional service. Nor is one fit or qualified to perform bhajan just by satkula vipra. Satkul. Satkul means a very good family. Satkul. Satkul Vipra. If he's a very good family, he's a Brahmin from a very good family, which Sanatana Goswami is and was. South Indian, he's a South Indian Saraswat Brahmin. So Lord Chaitanya, you're a Satkula Vipra, but now you lost your caste. But it doesn't matter, because even someone who has lost his caste or one is low caste, he can do Krishna Bhajan. And just because you have a high caste doesn't mean you can do Krishna Bhajan. So then Lord Chaitanya says, Jai Bhaje Se Bhada Abhakta Hinachar Krishna Bhajani Nahi Jati Kuladi Vichar. Anyone who takes to devotion, he's very exalted. Whereas a non-devotee is always condemned and abominable. Therefore, in Krishna Bhakti, there is no consideration of status of one's family. There is no bar and no limit to serving Krishna. Any caste, anyone, even Antyaja or this Mlecha Yavana, anyone can serve Krishna. Krishna tells that in Gita. Mami Partyavya Pashritya Yepi Shu Papayonia Sriya Vaishyasta Tashu Jaste Piyanti Paramgatim. Krishna tells in 8th chapter of Gita, Mami Partyavya Pashritya Yepi Shu Papayonia Yepi Shu Papayonia Papayoni Papayoni. Anyone, Ashrita Mam, anyone can take shelter of me even if they're born in a low family. Papayoni means a low birth, Mlecha Yavana Antyaja. Nastik, Pashandi. This is called Nicha Jati, low birth. He can take shelter of Krishna. So that phrase, Papayonia, includes all Americans, all Europeans, all Russians, everyone that's outside of Varnashram Dharma. So India, at least at the time of Gita, they had the Varnashram Dharma very much in extent, existing. But outside of India, there's no such concept or idea of Varnashram Dharma. So everyone's called Antyaja, and they're considered Papayoni. So he said, it's all right. So then he goes on, Dinar Adhika Daya Kari Bhagavan Kulina Pandit Danira Bara Abhiman. Krishna always favors the humble and meek. Dina Adhik Daya Kari Bhagavan. Bhagavan gives more compassion to those that have a lot of dina. Dina adik. Or let's put it the other way around. Adik doya. Krishna has more, he has excessively or additionally, he has more compassion for those that consider themselves dina. Dina bandhu das. Dina means I'm very fallen, I'm very lowly. Krishna likes that person. But someone who's kulina pandit danira bara abhiman. Someone who's kulina means kula. Kula means family, like Gurukul. Kulina means very good birth. Someone has aristocratic birth, very wealthy and rich. Or he's a big pandit. Or he's danira. He's very rich, dani. Then what happens? Bara abhiman. Big hankar abhiman. Krishna doesn't like. They're always proud. So then Lord Chaitanya says so many verses. Then he says, Bhajanera, this is the important point now. He's getting to the actual essence of his instructions on how to attain perfection, not by suicide, not by birth, high birth, not by wealth and all these things. Bhajanera madhya shreshta navavida bhakti Krishna prema Krishna dite dara maha shakti. Among the ways of bhajan, there's so many ways of bhajan. What is the Shreshta? Shreshta Bhajan. What is the Shreshta Bhajan? Shreshta means the best of, the topmost. The Shreshta Bhajan, the best method of bhajan, what is it? And he says the Navavida Bhakti. All kinds of bhajan are there. But the best way, Navavida Bhakti. What does Navavida Bhakti do? Krishna Prema Krishna Dite Dare Mahashakti. Dare Maha Shakti. In a Navavida Bhakti, there is Maha Shakti. Great power. So much power. What kind of power? He says, Dhare Mahashakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Archanam, Padasevanam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. These nine forms of devotional service, they're holding Dhare Mahashakti means they're holding tremendous power. Within them, they contain, they're holding tremendous power. Power to do what? If you have money, you have money power. To do what? To buy things, to control things. Money power. If you have physical power, what do? You have strength, power, strength. You can lift things and push people around or whatever. Physical strength. You have intellectual power. You can solve problems and create things and invent things. So what is the power of bhakti? Dhari Mahashakti. The power of bhakti, are these Navapita bhakti? They, Krishna Dite, Krishna Prema. What could be more powerful? The power to give Krishna, Krishna Dite, and the power to give Krishna Prema. This is the power of bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, this is the real power, this is the real thing. And then, in other words, they give Krishna an ecstatic love for Krishna. Okay, now there's nine limbs of bhakti. So then Sanatana Goswami is thinking, like we may be thinking, well, which one's the best? Sometimes devotees, when they have lots of time in their hands, they say, what should I do? Should I read? Should I chant? Should I sleep? That'll come automatically. You don't have to think about it. But in terms of devotion, should I hear? Should I read? Should I chant? Should I meditate? What should I do? Should I go on Parikrama, go serve the Vaishnavas, Padasevanam? Should I do puja, do more pujas, artik, sing songs, astakams? What should I do? So then, what does Lord Chaitanya say? How does he answer the question? Taramadya sarva shreshta nam sankirtan nirapparadi namalaile paya primadan. Of the nine processes of devotional service, sarva shreshta, the most important one is chanting nam sankirtan, Krishna's holy name in congregational chanting. By doing that, then nam laile poi premadan. By taking the holy name, laile, take the holy name and you'll get Krishna prem. Take the holy name and you will get Krishna prem. That's what he says. Nam laite poi premadan. Harinam sankirtan. And we're about to do that. At least we're about to do Harinam in a few minutes. Let's see if we fall into ocean of prema. Anyway, there's a little bit of a purport. We'll read this purport and then we'll continue this story part 4 tomorrow. Doyle Gauranga stops the suicide. Very many illuminating points within this story. I think so. And the purport, naturally, since Lord Chaitanya is glorifying the Sarva Shrestha, of all, in other words, the answer to the question, which is the best form of bhakti, which is the most powerful form of bhakti, and which form of devotion should I engage in since I have the whole day free? Should do Nam Sankirtan all day, alone or with friends, or go out on the street and make friends and engage them in Harinam. Nam Sankirtan. There's Jap and there's Kirtan. So he's talking about Nam Sankirtan. That means the holy names of the Lord, you're chanting, clapping your hands, that's called Kartal. Tala means beat and Kar means hand in Sanskrit. So this Kartal, 1, 2, 3 became some brass and bell metal. Ding, ding, ding. That's called Kartal, keeping the beat. Kartal. So clapping your hands, Karatali or Karatal or Madanga, etc. Sankirtan is the best way. He says it very easily, if one does this, very easily attains the valuable treasure of love of Godhead. And Prabhupada has added that word there, make it a little more attractive in the translation. It simply says, Nam Laile Pai Primadan, which Prabhupada says, you take the holy name, nirapparadi. There's one condition. There's some terms and conditions on this cell phone offer. T and C, terms and conditions. niraparadi, niraparadi, layale na, then premadan. When you take the holy name, Laila Name, without any offenses, then he says, Pai Premadan, then you will get the great treasure of love of God. And Prabhupada added an adverb. He put in easily get. Because, why? That's a poetic license of the translator. It's not literal translation, but it's acceptable. Because it is a fact that chanting the holy name is the best of all the nine processes, and it's the easiest, and by this easy, sublime process, very easily and quickly, we will attain the great wealth of Krishna Prema. So there's a nice verse in Namastakam, which Prabhupada quotes, Nikila Shruti Mali Ratnamala Duti Nirajita Parapanka Janta Ayi Mukta Kulero Pasyamanam Paritas Tomhari Namasam Shrayami. Paritas Tomhari Namasam Shrayami. O Harinam, says Rupa Goswami Pad, the tips of the toes of your lotus feet are constantly being worshipped by the glowing radiance emanating from the string of gems known as the Upanishads, the crown jewels of all the Vedas. O Harinam, you are eternally adored by liberated souls like Narada and Shukadeva. O Harinam, Samashrayami, I take complete shelter of you. So this verse and the cited here in the purport by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and by Prabhupada is Srila Prabhupada, he mentions in the Bhagavatam in the 7th canto, one purport, that when one's chanting the holy name of the Lord in Nam Japa, when he concludes his Nam Japa, he should chant these two prayers to get forgiven for his offenses in chanting the Dasavita, the Dasaparats, Namaparats. So this was one verse that he cited from Rupa Goswami's Namashtakam. And the other verse is from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 4, whatever it is. It's about the Kamsa, etc. And Navrittatar Sherupagiyamada Bhavoshadi Chotra Manobiramat Kutama Shloka Gunanavadat Puman Virahita Vina Pushuvnat. That's a verse where they're describing everyone's attracted to hearing about the Lord except an animal killer or a killer of the self, like Kamsa. So Kamsa was busy killing all the cows in Brajmandal and harassing all the Yadavas and driving them all out of Brajmandal. So this verse was being spoken. So this verse one should chant, and then this verse, and according to Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada, that by chanting these verses one will evoke the pleasure and blessings of the Lord and become forgiven for his offenses. And we mention these verses in our book, Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. So that's, and then there's one other verse, this is also by Sanatana Goswami. Jayati Jayati Namananda Rupam Marareer Viramita Nija Dharma Dhyana Pujari Yatnam Katamapi Sakritattam Muktidam Parinam Yat Paramam Amritam Ekam Jivanam Bhushanam Me. All glories, Jayati, Jayati, all glories to the all blissful holy name of Sri Krishna, which is actually Murari, to Murari's holy name, which causes the devotee to give up all conventional religious duties, meditation, and worship. When somehow or other one chants even once the holy name, he will attain liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. The holy name is my very life and my only treasure. This is the statement of Sanatana Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamritam, part 1, chapter 1, verse 9. So it's very nice. He says, it's my very life and my only treasure. We should have that idea also, that the holy name is my very life and my only treasure. And if the holy name of Krishna, Radha and Krishna Yuga Mantra, is our very life and our only treasure. By that treasure, our life will become perfect. And we'll attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna and the groves of Vrindavan and their eternal service and Gopi Bhav. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.